peace with God.
There's a pretty popular view of life that says something like, I don't have any regrets because everything happens for a reason. The Bible teaches something very different. It teaches that we must repent.
That means that you have to say to God, I'm sorry I'm a sinner. I'm willing to turn from my sin, but Lord, I'll need your help even when I give these things up. I can't do it by myself. I'm caught in those chains. Tell God that. And let the Holy Spirit come in and break them for you. And He will do it.
Starting Life Over Again. That's the title of Billy Graham's message on today's edition of Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Bill Meyer, and also on today's program, Billy Graham's grandson, Will, looks at courage.
When God calls us to do something, we can always find excuses that make us doubt what God is telling us. We need to exercise our faith and believe that God has called and equipped us for whatever lies ahead of us.
You'll hear the rest of Will's teaching right after his grandfather's message.
Peace with God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
peacewithgodradio.org or 888-61-JESUS.
888-61-JESUS.
Let's begin listening now to Billy Graham's message, Starting Life Over Again. It's from his 1994 outreach in Cleveland, Ohio.
I want us to turn to the second chapter of John's Gospel, beginning with verse 23. Jesus had been traveling throughout the land of Palestine. Now he's in Galilee. And then he went on his way to Jerusalem to attend the feast of the Passover. And when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. These people believed in Jesus. These were very religious people. They were religious leaders. But they didn't believe on Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And there are thousands of people here tonight that believe in Jesus Christ with your mind. You believe enough to go to church. You believe enough to engage in even Christian work and good works. But deep in your heart, you really don't know Christ as your Lord and your Master and your Savior. A newspaper article in Great Britain carried a headline a few weeks ago that said, a new world is being born. Yes, Jesus said it's possible to live a new life. He said in the next chapter, the third chapter of John, you must be born again. He said, if you're not born again, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When Jesus said that to this great religious ruler, who was a Pharisee and rich, he was in the revivalist movement of that generation. He belonged to the Sanhedrin, the highest ruling body in the nation. He was also a rich man, we find out. He was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees were considered the leaders of the country. Now, Nicodemus was the kind of man that most churches would be glad to have. But Jesus said, Nicodemus, all your good works and all your religious knowledge is not enough. You need something more. Jesus knew that man was capable of lying and cheating and hate and prejudice and social inequality. He said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and thefts and false witnesses and blasphemies. These are the things, he said, which defile a man. The Bible always describes the disease that we have as the free act of an intelligent, moral, responsible being. There are many words in the Bible that are translated sin. Many words. Transgression is one of them. Transgression means that we've broken the Ten Commandments, and every person here tonight has broken the Ten Commandments. Somewhere along the line, you told one lie. And the Bible says if you've broken one commandment, you've broken them all. So that means that you've broken all the commandments. And we haven't lived up to the Sermon on the Mount. We're missing the mark. All unrighteousness is sin, the scripture says in 1 John 5:17. Then there's iniquity. Iniquity means there's a turning aside from the straight path. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Bible teaches that the spirit is dead toward God. We have a body, but living inside is our spirit, and it's that spirit of ours that is going to live forever, either in heaven or hell. And the difference will be the decision that you make about Jesus Christ. Mark Twain was once asked, what are the two greatest words in the English language? And he replied, not guilty. The two greatest words, not guilty. And that's what God is going to say to you at the judgment if you know Christ. If you don't know Christ, if you haven't had this relationship with Christ, you'll be declared guilty and suffer the consequences. Well, what is the new birth? What does it mean to start over? Nicodemus asked that question. How can a man be born when he's old? He wanted to understand it. But Jesus indicated to him that there's a mystery about it. He said in John 1:13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You can be born in a garage, but that doesn't make you an automobile. You can be born in a Christian home, but that doesn't make you a Christian. He didn't say that you could be baptized, and that would get you to heaven. Oh, you should be baptized after you come to Christ. Simon the sorcerer was baptized by Philip after having intellectually believed, but Peter told him, your heart's not right in the sight of God. You need Christ, or confirmation, or whatever practice they have in your denomination, in your church. The conditions of belonging to the church were that you must first be saved. Some of you might have been saved at confirmation, and some might not have been. I mean, only the Holy Spirit knows when a person is born again, when that line is crossed. I believe I know the day that I was born again, but my wife doesn't know the day. She knows she's always loved Christ. She cannot remember the day that she didn't love him, and she can't remember the day when she didn't put him first in her life. Frederick the Great of Prussia was a professing Christian. He once invited Voltaire, the famous atheist, to a banquet. And during the toast, Voltaire said, I will barter my seat in heaven for one Prussian mark. After a silence, a fellow guest spoke up and said to Voltaire, sir, in Prussia, we have a law that says before we can sell anything, we have to have proof of ownership. Can you prove that you have a seat in heaven? I ask you this, can you prove that you have a seat in heaven? The only way you can get a seat is to come to the cross and confess that you're a sinner and receive Christ as Lord and Savior, and come to the empty tomb and believe that he rose again from the dead. Voltaire was speechless. He didn't know what to say. To be born again means to be born from above. The Holy Spirit of God comes in and gives you a new heart. You see, your old nature is no good. You have to have a new nature. You have to have a new heart. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, says Ezekiel 36. In Acts, Peter called it repenting and being converted. In Romans, Paul speaks of it as being alive from the dead. In 2 Corinthians, he calls it being a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything becomes new. Has that happened to you?
Would you like to know more about God giving you a new heart? Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. And you can also call us. Our number is 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787. Stay tuned for the rest of Billy Graham's message, Starting Life Over Again, in just a moment.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Pray. Pray for people you know who don't know Jesus. And get ready. Get ready for My Hope 2014 with Billy Graham, singer, songwriter, Matthew West.
Say, God, would you show me that one person or that one family? Show me who it is that you've put across my path and I've neglected to notice.
This November, My Hope will release Billy Graham's never-before-seen message, Heaven.
His message is timeless. God's going to move in a powerful way. I believe it.
My Hope partners with you and your church to help you share the message of Christ with your community. Learn more about it and pre-order your copy of Heaven today. Go to myhopewithbillygraham.org.
I can think of no better message or no better minister to introduce my unsaved friends to than the message of Billy Graham.
Ask God how He wants to use you, your church, and Billy Graham's message, Heaven. Pre-order your copy of it today. Go to myhopewithbillygraham.org. myhopewithbillygraham.org.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Peace with God. Kent Brantley is the missionary doctor who contracted and survived the Ebola virus while treating victims of the infection in Western Africa. Just a couple of weeks after leaving the hospital, Dr. Brantley spoke at a joint devotions for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and the Christian relief organization Samaritan's Purse. Franklin Graham welcomed him.
Kent, this is going to be a praise service to thank God for what He's done for you and your family.
In addition to thanking God and everyone who'd prayed for him, Kent also said his ordeal has become an important part of his walk with Jesus Christ.
I will never grow tired of talking about this. It's by talking about what God has done that we remember who He is and who we are and what He's done for us.
Franklin Graham got emotional when he told Kent that ministry staff members prayed for him constantly while he was battling the Ebola infection.
We broke into groups like we normally do every morning and pray around our table. And to see answered prayer, wow. It's hard for me to talk without getting emotional because I knew what Kent was facing. And to see him sitting here, wow.
Dr. Brantley said that he and his wife and their children are just normal people, no different than any other Christians who follow God's call on their lives.
If you're pursuing God's calling in your life, He will use you. And even if it's a challenging calling, even if you find yourself in difficult circumstances, He will give you what you need to be faithful to Him, even if it's a whole army of people praying for you.
You can read more about Dr. Brantley's story at our website, peacewithgodradio.org. Just search for Brantley.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
There's hope.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Billy Graham's message today is on starting life over again, or what Jesus called being born again.
To be born again means to be born from above. The Holy Spirit of God comes in and gives you a new heart. You see, your old nature is no good. You have to have a new nature. You have to have a new heart. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, says Ezekiel 36. In Acts, Peter called it repenting and being converted. In Romans, Paul speaks of it as being alive from the dead. In 2 Corinthians, he calls it being a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything becomes new. Has that happened to you? It could happen tonight. It can happen right here. You don't have to wait some other day. You don't have to put it off. In Colossians, Paul calls it putting off the old man with his deeds and putting on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Just before I came here, a man in the city of Asheville near our home in North Carolina pulled a gun on the teller who handed him the money as instructed. But that man did not know that the bag also contained a dye bomb. And when it exploded, it covered the money, the bag, and his hand with this dye. And he couldn't get it off. And when they caught him, the dive was easy to see. And because of sin, we have dye on our souls, and we can't wash it off. Because of this dye, we're easily spotted and caught and brought to the judgment. But Jesus can cleanse the dye with his blood. The only way to cleanse the dye of sin is by the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, the scripture says. And that's what you need tonight. Now, what happens? Nicodemus asked Jesus, he said, how can it happen? What happens? Jesus said, there's a mystery to it. He used the analogy of the wind. He said, the wind blows where it listeth. You can't see it. You can't catch it, but you can feel it. You can see the effects of it. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and gives us a new nature, and you can't pick it up and analyze it with your hands or put it in a laboratory. It's the work of the Spirit of God in you when you say yes to Christ. There's the analogy of the new birth. There's the moment of conception. There's the 9 months of gestation. Then there's birth. And the scripture says there's the reception of the Word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. You hear the scripture quoted here tonight? You say yes to Christ? Conception, or it may be one other step in gestation, or it may be birth. I don't know. Only God would know that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's something about the Word of God that has to do with your salvation. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching or declaration or proclamation to save them that believe. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, He convicts you of sin. You become conscious of the fact that you've sinned. You've come short of what God requires. That's the work of the Spirit of God inside you. Then, when you receive Christ, He comes to indwell. He will indwell you. He will live in you. You don't have to leave here to live a Christian life, which you can't do by yourself. You have the Holy Spirit living in you to help you to live the Christian life. I couldn't live the Christian life an hour without the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm a failure. I feel my sense of failure all the time. I'm not a great giant saint of God. People put a person who is publicized a little bit on a pedestal. I don't belong there. I belong in the gutter with all the sinners that have been saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. Jesus uses an interesting illustration. He reaches over to the Old Testament, and the people of Israel, when they were on their way out of Egypt, had all been bitten by serpents, snakes, and they were dying and suffering and screaming. And so Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness made of brass. And he said, if you look at that serpent, you'll be saved. You'll be healed. Well, that was absolutely foolish. There's no saving qualities or healing qualities in that brass. To just look and be saved. Think of it. That's all you have to do. And thousands of them did, and they were saved, but thousands of them didn't. They thought it was too foolish and too ridiculous and too simple. And that's the way some of you think about the gospel of Christ, and you think about the cross and the resurrection. It's too simple. It can't possibly be true. See, you come to Christ, that's easy in a way, because you have to repent of sin. That means that you have to say to God, I'm sorry I'm a sinner. I'm willing to turn from my sin, but Lord, I'll need your help even when I give these things up. I can't do it by myself. I'm caught in those chains. Chains of habit. And I've tried to break them and I can't. Tell God that. And let the Holy Spirit come in and break them for you. And He will do it. And He'll do it tonight. About 7 or 8 years ago, a little plane was going from Miami to Nassau and it crashed in the ocean. And the pilot survived the crash, but had blood on his forehead, which attracted sharks. And he spent hours, if you can believe it, he spent hours kicking those sharks away as he was floundering around in the water. After he'd been in the water 10 hours, he saw an aircraft and waved his orange life vest at the aircraft. The pilot spotted him and dropped a smoke canister and radioed a Coast Guard cutter that was 12 minutes away and said, "Hurry, there's a guy out there that's surrounded by sharks." The Coast Guard cutter came and they helped him to scramble up the rope ladder. Nothing less than the outside intervention of that Coast Guard cutter could have saved that man from a terrible, agonizing death. God will intervene tonight in your life and in your heart and take you away from those sharks that want to destroy you. You see, that man didn't need better techniques. He didn't need encouragement. He needed to be saved. And that's your position tonight. You need to be saved. And you can tonight by opening your heart to Christ.
Would you like to learn more about what it means for Jesus to save you? What it means to open your heart to Him? Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. And you can also reach us by phone. Our number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. If you're finding today's program helpful, or if you know someone else who might find it helpful, why not get your own free CD copy of it? All you need to do is give us a call and let us know you'd like the CD. The number again is 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787. The call and the CD are both free.
Peace.
With
God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
In today's message, Billy Graham challenged you to let Jesus take control of your life. God will help you do that if you ask Him. As Billy Graham's grandson, Will Graham, explains, God is known for helping His followers do what He calls them to do.
Have you ever been nervous when you had to confront someone or some difficult situation? There has been numerous times that I did not have the nerve to do what I didn't think I was capable of. The same was true for the men who followed David. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 3, the men became scared when confronted with the knowledge that God called them to go and save a city from the Philistines. Now, they were overwhelmed with the idea of fighting when they'd never been trained to fight. Most of them were only farmers, skilled with animals and crops, but not with weapons. They were about to let fear dictate their response to God. But instead, they chose to live by faith and to obey God by doing what they humanly thought was impossible. When God calls us to do something, we can always find excuses that make us doubt what God is telling us. We need to exercise our faith and believe that God has called and equipped us for whatever lies ahead of us. Don't let fear run your life. Live by faith and not by sight. For Peace with God, I'm Will Graham.
Not only does Jesus want us to trust Him with our fear, as you'll hear next week on Peace with God, He also wants us to trust Him with our loneliness.
He offers you a new life. He offers you peace and joy and friendship, never to be lonely again.
That's next week at the same time here on Peace with God. You can also help us share that message of new life in Jesus through your prayers and your financial support. Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Give.
That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or you can call us. Our number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. As a thank you for your gift of any amount, we'll send you the 2015 Billy Graham Evangelistic Association Prayer Calendar. In addition to offering monthly reminders of how God's using this ministry, it provides a daily Bible reading plan for you. Our web address, again, is peacewithgodradio.org, and our phone number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. Thanks so much for being with us today for Peace with God. I'm Bill Meyer.
Peace with God is an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.